Let's begin the next segment. Dominating, leadership, talent development, and business acumen to make your application stand out. Worked for me. Okay. Kartik was a brilliant high school student. He had near perfect grades, very high SAT scores, was the leader of a couple of clubs, and the editor-in-chief of the school newspaper. Kartik's parents were justifiably proud of their son and were absolutely certain he had done everything necessary to gain admission to a prestigious university right up until the time that the rejection emails arrived. Kartik was devastated. How could it be that a class salutatorian would be rejected from all of his reach schools? Unfortunately, this is not an isolated incident, as you know. It happens far more often than one would like to think. And that's because the rules for admission have changed, and parents and students don't understand how they've changed, nor do they understand how to adjust to those changes. But you do, because you're here today. So since today, the difference between acceptance and rejection often lies in the exceptional quality of your leadership, I thought it would be cool and certainly informational to show you a video montage of the leadership projects of a few of my students and let those students tell you a little bit about their journey to their leadership initiative and give you a little bit of advice for your own journey to leadership. The students you're going to see in this video represent acceptances from Princeton, Stanford, Harvard, Penn, Columbia, Cornell, Duke, Johns Hopkins, and Vanderbilt, and there's even a rising ninth grader, and we expect really big things from her, too. Okay, let's take a look.
Hi, my name is Elmer Bardwaj, and I'm a senior at Hong Kong International School. My greatest passion is for helping the environment, and that has manifested itself in two major projects that I've undertaken throughout my high school career. Hong Kong originally had 16 landfills and now is down to 3, and these remaining landfills are filling up at a rapid pace of about 14,000 tons of waste per day. Another statistic that I learned was that only 7.7% of glass is recycled in Hong Kong. And compared to European countries where this number can be upwards of 70%, I saw that there was a really big gap in this issue that could be filled by a leadership project such as my own. I started by going to a small waterfront area near where I lived, where there are a bunch of restaurants down the waterfront. We had them put aside their glass and then we would come and collect it every week, because there was no system for glass recycling in this area, as in many areas in Hong Kong. So over a semester in ninth grade, we did this every week, and by the end of the semester had collected and recycled 4,000 glass bottles. Once I saw that we had a system that worked and could be expanded, I decided to do just that. And the next year I brought this same system to my high school. Instead of going around with a dumpster-sized bin, we set up smaller bins in department offices, the cafeteria, strategic locations such as those, and had it so that students and teachers could conveniently recycle their glass in these bins. From there, I decided to go even further with my project and start a new initiative to bring glass recycling to residences in Hong Kong. So with this idea, I founded a nonprofit called Glassroots Glass Recycling, and we pitched our idea to different funders and got seed funding from the Nature Conservancy in Hong Kong to start our project. We went to a building called Le Palais and set up a glass collection point there to start our project. setting up the dumpster size bin and advertising to the residents, presenting to them to teach them how to recycle glass and make sure they were using the system effectively. From there, we plan to replicate that system in other buildings throughout Hong Kong and expand our reach as far as possible to make the most impact we can for the environment. After this experience in enacting environmental activism in my city, I decided to take a more scientific approach to helping the environment, as this is the area I want to pursue for my career. So over the last summer, I went to a lake reservation in New York to conduct environmental science research. And at this reservation, I investigated the effects of invasive plant leaf litters in the area on the lake ecosystem. To do this, I used mesocosms, which are scaled-down replicas of a lake ecosystem in small plastic containers. I set up water from the lake, microorganisms, algae, all the different components of the lake ecosystem in these mesocosms, and observed the various effects of the different leaf litter treatments on the ecosystem replicas. What I found was that one of the invasive plants, called common reed, had the potential to cause eutrophication in the New York lakes. And the other invasive plant that I investigated, called Japanese knotweed, broke down most rapidly of all the leaf litter types and could cause rapid change and place stress on the lake ecosystems. After conducting my research over the summer, I collected my data, I found my conclusions, and I wrote about my findings in a science research paper. I sent this paper to various competitions over the past year, and was a regional finalist for the Intel International Science and Engineering Fair, a semi-finalist for the Intel Science Talent Search, a finalist for a local Hong Kong competition, and a finalist for the International Environment Sustainability Project Olympiad. These two projects that I've executed throughout the last 4 years have reinforced for me my dedication to helping the environment and passion for this endeavor. It is definitely a pursuit that I will continue throughout college and beyond, and has been very impactful to me in these formative years of my life. My advice for other students who are considering starting a leadership initiative is to firstly find something that you're passionate about, because once you're doing something that you really care about, it's not much of a project, but more of something that's natural, something that you are enthusiastic to do, and makes the efforts much easier and more enjoyable. Also, don't be afraid to be ambitious, because when I started with all this, I never would have guessed where it would have taken me. But I just kept with it. I invested myself in what I cared about, and the result was much more than I could have imagined. You can accomplish something phenomenal if you set your mind to it, set your passion to it, and engage completely in the project that you are trying to enact.
Hi, my name is Andrew Blum, and I'm a senior at Avenues the World School in New York City, and I'm going to Stanford University in the fall to study international relations. And so one of the projects that I've been working on is On a Roll, which is currently a spring roll food stand, but it kind of went through a lot of iterations before that. We ended up just making a pop-up food stand, that way we could be in all these little markets that dot New York City without actually having to pay these immense startup costs. So it was something that was attainable for two high schoolers. From there, we got a food stand in this market called Hester Market on the Lower East Side, and we served there throughout October, the month of October, and we raised a little bit over $1,000 for a local charity, St. Clement's Food Pantry. And that was, we honestly weren't intending on donating the money originally. We were trying to work with City Harvest or other foods to incorporate some sort of social good into our business. But after thinking about, you know, how much effort it took to raise the money, we thought, well, if we can donate the money and then keep the project as a legacy and leave it to the younger students at our school.
We'll be right back.
The other thing that I was working on was Silicon Alley track. And that's something that I started this year to kind of bring student entrepreneurs together from across New York City and take them to different startups to kind of see, you know, what it's like and dispel these rumors that you get in movies like The Internship, where you see, we learn about like Google and all these other companies and how it's just kind of all relaxing and ping pong tables and all that. And so we've been to Google, Spotify, a few other companies. We have plans to try to go to Facebook. We'll see how that works out. But it's been a really interesting experience. I started the program originally at my school, intending it to be only for students at my school, but it was, you know, it just, through all the red tape, it was easier to actually expand it and go outside of my school, and it was actually able to get participation from students from other schools in New York City as well. So it actually kind of benefited me. The struggle of the experience actually benefited the program, I would say, in the end. But that's just one of those things, being an entrepreneur, kind of having to navigate the landscape of red tape and obstacles that kind of come about. And that's also something else that I'll definitely be leaving to someone, either at my school or at another school. But the ability to just kind of like start something from a kind of open framework was really presented to me by my school. And then from there, just kind of hearing interest from other student entrepreneurs and kind of having this big gap, especially in a place like New York City, where you have this whole Silicon Alley scene and you have all these companies that are here and all these incubators. It seemed kind of silly that something like this didn't already exist. So I just kind of filled the niche that was open.
Hi, my name is Anisha Santhanam. I'm in eighth grade, I'm 13 years old, and I live in New Jersey. I'm still exploring the different careers that I could pursue in the future, but I definitely know that I want to get into the field of STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. I also have a passion for composing music and the performing arts, so I'd like to incorporate my love for STEM and the arts into my future career. My project is Likeable Science. As the name indicates, Likeable Science takes science topics from our school curriculum and helps you learn them in a fun, visual, appealing, and likeable manner. Using humor, visuals, time-lapse, raps, and songs, Likeable Science helps you to learn a concept without reading through overwhelming amounts of material. What's up, guys? I'm Anisha, and this is Likeable Science. Here are a few things about me. Using text, images, worksheets, websites, and the occasional informational video. But when a test comes along, learning, memorizing, and retaining all of this information can be overwhelming. Likeable Science. My advice to students who are thinking of making their own leadership project is to start small, with one major area of interest. Then you can explore ideas that you can add on to that area of interest, and in the end, just connect the dots, just like I did with STEM and the arts to make Likeable Science.
Hello, my name is Arjun, and I'm a junior at Valley High School in West Des Moines, Iowa, and my leadership project is organizing and running a STEM speaker series. How did I start this? So back in January of 2015, a few friends and I noticed a lack in STEM exploration beyond the classroom. We all loved the science classes we took in high school, we all enjoyed them a lot, but beyond that, we kind of noticed a lack in opportunity to explore STEM, to explore paths in STEM, and to apply what we learned in class and see how that can work in a real job setting. We wanted to fill that gap. So what we did is we had the idea to create a STEM lecture series in which we invite professionals once a month to speak to our community. How does that work? So, like I said, since January of 2015, once a month, except for the summer months, we invite a doctor, a medical researcher, a professor, a published author to speak to our high school community about their career and how they got there. Regarding our speakers, we have had the chief developer of the pill camera, a biomedical engineer. We have had numerous professors from Drake University, Iowa State University, the University of Iowa. We have had a software engineer from Google who also worked on the fur rendering software for the tiger in the movie Life of Pi. We have had two published authors of mathematical books about the history of math and about the finer details of the mathematical process. And by far, our most notable speaker was Ben Silberman, the current CEO of the social media company Pinterest. He Skyped in last April, and he spoke to about 30 to 40 kids in our community. So we really enjoyed him coming, and all of our speakers have all been great and have really engaged our community. So how do the lectures work? The speaker comes into our meeting hall, normally during the evening, and speaks about their life, their career, their education, their current work, past work, and research, all of those topics for about 30 to 40 minutes. After that, for the remaining 20 minutes in our hour-long speaker series, we have an opening questioning period for our audience. Whether it's the students or the parents of the students, they can ask questions to our speaker, whether regarding individual questions about, you know, what classes should I take, what clubs should I do, what things should I do in undergrad and high school, or research opportunities. You know, we've set up many internships and opportunities by our lecture attendees asking the lecture questions about, oh, is there a summer camp here I can do? Oh, is there an internship here I can do? So yeah, that's a big success. We have really fostered an exploration of STEM beyond the classroom for a lot of the people who come to our lectures, and that was our original goal. Now a little bit about the success we've had. We have been published in the local newspaper and school publications, you know, featured on our school website, and more importantly than that, we've always had a good turnout. We've always ranged anywhere from 20 to 40 high school students, middle school students, parents, elementary school students. That's by far the most important gauge of our success. We've always had great turnout. We've never had, you know, just two or three people coming. And, you know, that also reflects on our work. We've advertised heavily. We've talked to people, called people, and all invited them to come. Regarding future plans, we definitely plan to continue this during our senior year, me and my two other friends who run this. And after we graduate, we were also hoping to pass on our project to some underclassmen and create the continuation of the STEM interaction that we established in our community. For anyone who would like to start a leadership project similar to mine or completely different, I would mainly recommend not being intimidated. You know, when we first started this project, we thought people would be not very receptive to us, they would turn the other way, and we would just have a hard trouble getting people to come to our lectures and inviting speakers. But that honestly wasn't the case. You know, people are a lot more receptive than you would think. We contacted busy professors, and they were all extremely willing to speak. You know, we didn't think people would take time out of their Thursday nights to come to our lectures, but they all did. So a big tip would, you know, don't be intimidated by the task. Just work through it and gauge what your environment is like before you draw conclusions about your environment. And my final tip would be you know, you have time. When you plan to start something, don't think that you have to get it done by tomorrow. This to get to our first event, this took us about 2 months of planning. You know, the task seems daunting, but with organized effort, any leadership project can be accomplished. Thank you.